This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM. The Realty Hour with Terry Miller is paid for by Terry Miller of the Signature Realty Group.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Realty Group. I'm your host, Terry Miller, and we have a lot to discuss today. But first, I'd like to give you a little bit of information about myself. I'm a licensed Maryland realtor, home inspector, lead inspector. I'm certified by Baltimore City and Baltimore County as a rental inspector, and I also do radon inspections. Before we get too far into this, I want to let you know about a hot property that they're having an open house for today. It's at 7808 DuBois Avenue in Dundalk, Baltimore, Maryland, 21222. It is a four-bedroom, three-bath waterfront home. It's listed by Scott Stoolidge of Signature Realty Group. They're having an open house there today until 2:30, I believe it is. If you can't make it by that time, give Scott a call. His number is 443-992-3608. Again, that was 7808 DuBois Avenue. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath waterfront home. Scott Stoolidge, 443-992-3608. So let's get into this. What's the reason I created this show? Well, I'm a realtor, like I said, and I want to grow my business. I want to grow my brand. I figured the best way to reach the people in Baltimore was to use an established radio show and a radio station like AM 680. What better way to build a relationship with people than get out here and have an open discussion? And that's actually what we're going to do on this show. I have it structured to where I'm going to talk about certain things at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the show, selling and buying houses, and then home inspections and radon inspections towards the end. But you can call in and ask about anything at all related to home inspections, selling, buying, even some repairs in your house. We'll try to figure it out. If we can't, I'll get back to you with the answer. So, before I get started too much with the show, I just wanted to let everybody know that the information that I'm giving you is generalized information. It's not specific to your situation. You should not use anything that I say on this show to enter into a contract, to enter into a legal agreement. Everything that I say on this show is for informational purposes only. So before you enter into any legal contracts, any legal agreements related to real estate, you should contact a licensed real estate agent or a licensed attorney. So I figured I would start this show by going through the top questions that people ask real estate agents. I actually Googled these questions, so I'll be going off of a Google list and giving you the answers to the questions. First of all, how do you determine the listing price of a house? This question was asked by a seller. So we use a multiple listing service, MLS here in Maryland. We use Bright. It's a comprehensive database of local properties. It has all of the listings and sales in the state of Maryland. And we use that to do a comprehensive market analysis of your home, or a CMA, or you'll hear some realtors call it a comp. We do an apple-to-apples comparison of your home to other homes in the area to see what your house is going to sell for. So, for example, if you have a two-bedroom, two-bath house in Dundalk, and you have a fenced-in yard, no garage, I'm not going to compare that to a three-bedroom house in Essex. I'm going to find a two-bedroom house with a fenced-in yard that matches your property and your neighborhood and find out what it's sold for. After we do that, I'll come down and we'll do a walkthrough inspection. We'll check your house to see if there's anything in there that you've done to improve your house, any repairs that you've made, any improvements. Did you do anything to the bathroom, the basement? Maybe you put a deck on the house, or maybe you have a swimming pool. All of these things add or subtract value from your house. So we'll sit down, we'll go over everything, and we'll come up with a plan to come up with the value of your house and get your house listed. Sometimes the listing price that we put out there may have to be adjusted down. Sometimes you won't get any leads at all for a couple weeks. So basically, we'll adjust the price down a little at a time until we hit that sweet spot and we start getting phone calls and people asking for showings. Another Another question that was asked was, what is your marketing strategy for my home? Well, the marketing strategy is, after we set a listing price for your house, we stage your house for homes and photos. We'll take professional photos of the property. We'll promote your property on Bright MLS, Zillow, Realtor, Realty.com. We'll have access to all of them. Most of the time, they're going to be on our Facebook page, Instagram, TikTok, WhatsApp. All of our platforms are going to have them. If you happen to hire me from this show and I list your house, not only are you going to be on all of these platforms here, but you're also going to be listed on this show every Saturday with me from 1 to 2. I'll advertise your house a few times during the show. And while we're talking about advertising and photography, I got to throw a name out there of Brooke Stoolidge of Signature Real Estate Photography. She's my preferred photographer for the Real Estate Hour. You know, Brooke isn't just a photographer. She's an absolute artist. Her photos are amazing. So, you know, when she does photos for you, you don't just level up. You take it to the next level. So if you need photographs for real estate, wedding photos, personal photos, sports photos, any kind of photos at all, give Brooke at Signature Real Estate Photography a call. You can see her work on Facebook at Signature Real Estate Photography. Her phone number is 443-248-4800. And again, that was Brooke Stoolidge, 443-248-4800. So, all right. Where are we at here? Can you provide a list of service providers for me was a question. So absolutely. Signature Real Estate Group's been around for a long time. They work with a lot of different people in different fields of real estate. So when you hire one of the agents there or myself, we have a list of loan officers that you can work with, title companies, home inspectors, insurance companies, and contractors if you need them. Actually, speaking of the loan officers out there, we have a couple of them that are preferred loan officers for this show. First one is Sunmeet Swani, or Sunny. He is the vice president and residential branch manager of Meridian Bank. If you're looking for a home loan, give Sunny a call at 443-393-8989. My second one is Jeremy Poling. He is the team lead at NFM Lending. You can give him a call at 301-676-5506. So, let me get to the next page here. What is your strategy for finding me a home within my criteria? The very first step in finding you a home is getting you pre-qualified. That's the most important thing. We need to know what you qualify for. You don't want to go out and look at a house that costs $400,000 when you can only afford $300,000. So we have a few mortgage lenders, as I just told you. Once you get pre-qualified, we know what we're looking for. Then we'll get some a meeting with you. We'll go through what amenities do you want. Do you need a garage? Do you want a pool? Do you have any children or pets that require a fenced-in yard? Do you have anyone living with you that needs special needs? Do you need a wheelchair ramp? Whatever you need, you let us know. We enter all of that information into our MLS, and it gives us a list of homes that meet your specific criteria, and then we send that to you. And if you like, we actually could put your email information into our MLS, and every morning you'll get a list of updated properties that meets your criteria. So if you find a property that you want to make a bid on, basically we come up with a number, we get the required loan documents together from the lender and send everything along with a written offer to the selling agent. If the offer is accepted, then you'll sign a purchase agreement and then we move on to the inspection process. So, all right, let's get into some inspections here. That's what I really want to talk about. I think that's what people have most of the questions about. So what is a home inspection? A home inspection is a non-invasive visual examination of accessible areas of your residential property. It's designed to identify defects within a specific system and components of the structure. So basically what that's saying is that it's not invasive. It's not a technical inspection of your home. We're not going to go in there and take your electrical panel apart and test your breakers. We're not going to pull apart your heating and air conditioning system and see what the wiring looks like inside and test the wiring. We're not going to pull apart your stove. We're not going to do any of that. When you hire a home inspector, we're coming in to look for material defects and safety issues that are clearly obvious to us. Now, sometimes during these inspections of your attic and stuff like that, we find things that we normally wouldn't see, and obviously they're going to be noted on the inspection report. But for most part, it's not a technical inspection. And the way that it's designed is the software that we use actually guides us through your home. When we get to your house to do an inspection, the very first thing we're looking at is the outside of your house. We're going to take a picture from the outside of your home. And then the inspection starts with your driveway and your sidewalk. We're going to examine everything all the way up to your house to see if there's any cracks, anything broken in your sidewalk that's a safety issue. Then once we get to your home, we're going to walk around the exterior of your home and check for any kind of holes or anything in your siding. Is the steps going up to your house, are they cracked? Do you have a railing? Do you have a deck? Is the deck up to code? Well, it's not actually up to code. Do you have a railing on your deck? Anything on the outside of your house that can pose a danger to someone falling? Anything that could, if you have a swimming pool, do you have a fence around it? Do you have a fence around your yard? There's everything outside at your house that you could possibly think of. There's 99 things on the inspection program that have to be checked off before we can submit that and send it out to you. So what is a material defect? A material defect is basically an issue that will have a significant adverse effect or impact on the value of your property that poses an unreasonable risk to people. This could also be a leaking roof, a cracked foundation, or a non-working HVAC system. I mean, just think about it. If you're buying a house that costs $300,000 and your roof, they don't want to budge on the price or anything, and then we find a roof leak that could cost you $12,000 to fix, you're going to be able to use that to leverage a little bit of money in this contract. At least you should be able to. And all right. So I'm going to go back to getting pre-approved on a house. I think I should touch on that a little bit more. A lot of people, they want to come out and look at houses, and they tell you exactly what they're looking for, and then they go to an area, and we find a house out there that looks like $375,000, $400,000, and they fall in love with the house. And then, we take them to a loan officer, and they go through the loan paperwork, and before you know it, they're heartbroken because they wanted this house, and they're only qualifying for $250,000 to $300,000. So it's very, very important to get that pre-qualification letter. Also, a lot of realtors aren't going to take you serious if you don't have it. If you're not taking a step to go out and get your pre-qualification letter, then some of the realtors out there won't even talk to you. So are we getting ready to go into a break? All righty. I'm being told by the producer we're getting ready to go into a break, so I'll talk to you on the other side.
Hey everyone, Kim Klasick here. I'm inviting you to join me for the Putting Social on October 16th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Turf Valley Resorts. Now, this is not your average golf outing. It's a fun and casual putting challenge with a five-hole opening round, delicious hors d'oeuvres, and a cash bar. So come out and compete or just enjoy the vibe. We've got friends, new faces, you're going to love it. Here's where it gets exciting.
Oh, he got all of that one.
The top five scorers from the opening round will join me for a long-distance, one-hole championship putt. The player closest to the pin wins the grand prize, a private round of golf with me and three guests, including green fees and cart. Tickets are just $40. All you have to do is get yours today at WCBM.com, and I'll see you out on the green at Turf Valley Resorts.
The inaugural Kim Klasick Putting Social is brought to you by Platinum Law Group and RBC Wealth Management, featuring Tim Herbs' Morning Market Flash.
Notice how much entertainment costs have risen lately? Satellite radio is $10 to $25 a month. Netflix costs $7 to $23 a month. The movies are $9 to $15 a month. WCBM Radio and the WCBM Radio app are free. Download it today from your app store.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, welcome back to the Realty Hour with Terry Miller. Before we get any further, I actually want to talk about my daughter real quick, Candace Miller. She is an attorney at Azarvan Tax Law. Azarvan Tax Law, they handle Maryland taxes and federal taxes, but they are a Maryland tax firm. If you have any problems with the IRS or the state of Maryland and you're looking for some help from an attorney, give my daughter Candace a call at 443-698-4005. That's 440-998-4005. So we're going to get back into the home inspection portion of this show. If anybody has any questions about buying or selling real estate, please give me a call because it's pretty straightforward, unless you want to get into the nuances of it. So where are we at here? Let's get into the home inspection. So as I was saying, when we walk up to a house, we have software that guides us through your home inspection. As I was saying, that you know, we start with your sidewalk, your decks, your steps, everything on the outside of your house, but then we get into your roof covering materials. That's one of the things that's an issue today with home inspectors. Is a lot of them don't want to climb up on your roof. You'll have them use a drone, or some of them, believe it or not, the standard of practice, you're allowed to use a pair of binoculars from the street. I actually wouldn't feel too comfortable with somebody using a pair of binoculars to check out my roof from the street. I would prefer that they get on the roof, and if they can't, then a drone nowadays with the cameras on them should work fine with no problem. I prefer to get on your roof. I have used a drone in the past. It's just there's roofs out there that some of us can't get onto. But the drone coverage nowadays with the 4K cameras hovering over top of the roof actually gives me a better view when I take the inspection home and look closely at it. I can see the pictures much clearer than I can when I'm standing on a roof. I know that might sound a little silly to you, but just picture... You're taking in so much when you're up there, it's hard to concentrate on one thing, and sometimes you'll miss it. It's kind of like if you're in your house and you ever lost your car keys or your remote control, you run around the house 3, 4, 5 times and you can't find it anywhere, and then you walk back in there and there it is sitting right where you were looking at in the first place. It's kind of like that when you're doing inspections. That's why this software is designed to send you in and around the house several times. When you watch a home inspector, you might think that they're not doing what they're doing because you'll see them. They'll go around your house in one direction, then they turn around and they come back around your house in another direction. That's because it's designed into the software to do that. It's making you look at the same thing over and over and over, even though you're looking for different things. Once we're up on the roof, obviously we're checking to make sure that your shingles are in good shape. They're not curling. They're not broken. They don't have holes in them. I did an inspection the other day when I was up on the roof, and it was strange. The roof looked very good, the majority of the roof, but there was one shingle that had a hole in it as if something came from the sky and hit it and put it right through the shingle into the roof. There was actually a hole inside of the plywood, which was kind of strange to find considering the rest of the roof was in good shape. So after we're done with the shingles, you want to check the valleys, any of the pipes that might be coming through your roof, the boots to make sure that they're still in good shape. They're not cracked up. There's no leaks come in or anything like that. You want to get to the gutters, of course. Make sure that the gutters are clean. That's a big deal if your gutters are dirty. In the wintertime around here in Maryland, we get ice dams. They'll back up under your shingles. It'll push the ice up under your shingles, and then you'll end up with a roof leak in the wintertime. Then, of course, we end up with the downspouts, the vent, the flashing, skylights, and the chimneys. Now, home inspectors are not chimney inspectors. At least I am not, and most of them that I know of are not. We inspect the chimney bricks. We see if they need it pointed up. We check the cap. We check to make sure that you have everything on the chimney that you're supposed to have there. Nothing's broke, nothing's chipping, nothing's falling. But as far as a legitimate camera-checked chimney inspection, you would have to hire somebody to do that other than a home inspector unless they specialize in it. Another thing that we check is the general structure of the roof from readily accessible areas and stairs. What I mean by that is if you have an attic that we can get into, we go in the attic and we inspect the roof from the inside. because that's actually where you find your roof leaks. You're not really going to find a roof leak walking around the outside of a roof unless you do like I did and find that hole in the roof where something fell through there. All of you, anytime you look for a roof leak in a house, you're going to look in the attic, see if there's any kind of mold, any wetness, any damp, anything at all in the attic that looks like it's wet. Most of the time, it's going to be the plywood or the insulation, and it's going to tell you that you have a roof leak, but you're not going to find it from on the roof most of the time. Which is another thing about the attics, the ventilation up there. It's very, very important that you have ventilation in your attic. A lot of houses out there, especially these tiny houses that they're building, they don't have what's called ridge vents and soffit vents. There's no airflow going from one side of it's sucked in at the eaves of the house and taken up at the soffits of the house and taken out the eave of the house. It puts fresh air in there and it takes the moisture out. So it's very important when you're looking at a house to make sure that the ventilation is correct. I actually went and looked at a house today. I did not do an inspection. I was taking a client out, a friend of mine by the name of Devin, if you're out there listening to me. We went out and looked at a house in Queens Anne County, And the house didn't look too good from the outside, but when we got in there, the house was actually beautiful. It needs to be cleaned up, but it didn't look like there was too much that needed to be done to it mechanically. But when I got up in the attic, it was perfect. The house had the vents, it had the airflow, it actually had a mechanical unit up in there that was venting it out as well. So even though the house looked like it needed some work on the outside, everything on the inside was perfect. Devin really liked the house, and congratulations, Devin. He's putting an offer in it, and hopefully his offer is accepted pretty soon. So let's get back to the general structure of the roof. I'm pulling down my computer here. So, all right. So what am I, as an inspector, required to do? We have rules and standards of practice when we do these inspections. There's organizations that we join that gives us standards of practice that we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to follow them. I'm a member of InterNACHI. InterNACHI is an organization. It's basically a school for home inspectors, but it's an accredited college. But they give us a standard of practice that we have to follow when we're doing the inspections on your home. So when you hire an inspector to do an inspection, you might want to go on an InterNACHI yourself and pull these things up so you can make sure that they're doing what's required to be done. And if you think they're taking shortcuts, read the standards of practice, because they're probably doing it the way they're supposed to be doing it. It just doesn't look like it from your viewpoint. So the inspector is not required to walk on any roof surface. As I said, you can actually get away with inspecting a roof with a pair of binoculars. The inspector is not required to predict the service life expectancy of a roof. So I'm not going to come here and tell you your roof is going to last you 15 or 20 years. Obviously, we can't do that. We are not required to inspect underground downspouts, diverter drainage pipes, or remove snow, ice, or debris so we can see the condition of your roof. We are not required to move insulation. We're not required to inspect antennas or satellite dishes, lightning arresters, de-icing equipment, or any other attachment on your roof. We are not required to walk on any roof surface that appears, in my opinion, to be unsafe. Unfortunately, at my age, it's pretty much everything is looking unsafe now. Walking on any roof area that might, in doing so, in my opinion, cause damage. I'm not doing that either. If I see a soft spot on your roof, or if I see a shingle that's curling, and if I step on it, it's going to break it or crack it, I'm not going to walk on your part of the roof, because I obviously don't want to damage your equipment. I will not give you a warranty or certify the roof. That's not something that we do. And we cannot confirm proper fastening or insulation of any roof cover material. When we're looking at your shingles, we're not lifting them up and pulling them, because we could break them. So we can't tell you how many nails are in them or how they are attached to the roof. So let's get off of the roof and talk about the exterior part of the house. Things that I am supposed to inspect for you are the exterior wall covering materials, the eaves, the soffits, and the fascia. All exterior doors, flashing and trim, walkways, driveways, stair steps, stoops, ramps, porches and patios, decks, balconies, and carports, railings, guardrails, and handrails. And we're actually supposed to inspect the vegetation around your house to make sure that it's not too close to your home or it could be causing drainage issues. One of the things that's on here is a representative number. And I don't agree with this representative number thing that we're supposed to do. A representative number basically means if I walk into your home and I have it, let's say I'm using an electrical tester to test your outlets in your house, and you have six outlets in your living room. It says I need to test a representative number. It doesn't say I need to test all of them. Well, what is a representative number? I don't know. Is it two? Is it four? There is no guideline on it. And most of the time, if you're going to have six, seven, eight receptacles, some of them are going to be on different circuits. So even if you test a representative number, you get three or four of them. The rest might not be working. So I don't do a representative number. I make sure that I check every single outlet in your house. I make sure that I check for GFCIs. All of these things are very important, especially if you have children in the house. So when we inspect these things, we have to describe in our report what we're looking at. We can't just say we looked at a receptacle. We have to say what we looked at and the type. It's the type of exterior wall covering material. So when I was on the outside of your house, was it aluminum siding, vinyl siding? Did you have asbestos shingles out there? The inspector shall report as needed any improper spacing between balusters or spindles or rails on your steps. You don't want them far enough apart that a child or a small person can get their head stuck in between them, and then you're calling the fire department out to get their heads out of there. The inspector is not required to inspect or operate screens, storm windows, shutters, awnings, fences. Just to let you know, I do inspect the windows. I open up all of the windows and shut them to make sure that they are working properly. And again, I don't do a representative number. I make sure that I do all of them. All right, where are we at here? Okay. So things that we are not required to inspect, again, screens, storm windows, shutters, awnings, and fences. Items that are not visibly or readily accessible to us, anything on the ground, including windows or door flashing. We're not to inspect or identify geological or geothermal soil conditions. We are not to inspect recreational facilities or playground equipment. These are special inspections that are supposed to be done to code because of the things that could hurt you in there. We don't inspect seawalls or breakwalls or docks. We don't inspect for erosion control. It sounds like we don't do a lot, doesn't it? But actually we do. So we're going to build through this program, and over the next coming weeks, we're going to get into this more. But I'm being told that we are going on another break, so I'll get back to you shortly and we'll pick up where we left off.
Good day, everyone. This is Eddie Appelfeld with Eddie's Corner, and happy autumn. Next baseball season, robot umpires are in play. Teams can now challenge two calls per game. Some restrictions apply. The Maryland Air National Guard no longer exists. The Middle River Hangar will now be empty. This makes Maryland the only state without an air mission. July was the second busiest import month in the U.S., 20% over June. That's the big number. Consumer spending rose 0.6% in August, showing Americans are opening their wallets. A nasal spray might soon be available for adults to combat COVID. In case you haven't noticed, COVID cases are on the rise. Saturday Night Live goes live October 4th. Bad Bunny is the first host. Toys R Us is opening a new flagship at Arundel Mills. Columbia, Maryland is the best city in America for women, according to Wallet Hub. Baltimore's number 36. This is the Appelfeld for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Our critically injured veterans and first responders are left behind every day because of inadequate wheelchairs. That's why Wheelchairs for Warriors is on a mission to serve America's heroes across the nation and provide them with custom-fit wheelchairs tailored to fit their needs to ensure they rejoin their lives at the highest level of independent mobility and function possible. From lightweight daily use chairs or adaptive sports chairs to all-terrain wheelchairs to get these warriors outdoors, Wheelchairs for Warriors serves those who served us. To join their mission, visit their website at wheelchairsforwarriors.org today.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
In a world of tapes and replays, Red Eye Radio is live.
I can't tell you what this president is going to do next. It's just mind-boggling.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night.
If there were 100 bad options, that was 99 on the list.
Exactly.
Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Welcome back to the Realty Hour with Terry Miller. Hey, if you're looking for a realtor, if you need to buy, sell, or rent a home, if you're looking for a real estate, someone to inspect your property for you, if you're looking for someone to do mold, and I'm sorry, radon inspections, give me a call, 443-449-9639. I said mold because I'm actually studying for that test right now, and it's been on my mind. I'm going to be offering mold inspections pretty soon. You can also go to my website, terrythebaltimorerealtor.com. I have homes listed on there for sale. Thousands of them are on there. So go to my website, check it out. Give me a call if you need it, 443-449-9639. Also, I wanted to, real quick before I get back into this, if you have any rental properties that you're looking for someone to manage for you, if you're moving, you don't feel like doing it anymore, it's just getting out of hand, you have to call Waterfront Property Services with Scott Stoolidge. The number I gave you earlier, as soon as I find it, I'll give it right back to you again. The paper dropped on the floor here. All right, so Waterfall Property Management, sorry about that, with Scott Stoolidge, 443-992-3608. He manages one property or many. You can do an apartment complex if you want. He's been doing this for years. He has a whole lot of experience in it. He handles every aspect of the property management. Once you sign it over to him, you ain't really got to do anything except collect your rent payment check. So give Scott a call, Waterfront Property Management, 443-992-3608. All right, so let's get back into what we are not supposed to be doing. So the last thing that was on that list when we left the break was inspects drainage fields and break walls. So we don't have to inspect any of those things like that. But what am I required to do? So where are we at here? Give me one second, please. Okay, basement, foundation, crawl space, and structures. So the inspector shall inspect the foundation, the basement, the crawl space, and the structural components. You got to put on there what type of foundation it was, if it's a block foundation, if it happens to be wood, if it happens to be concrete, whatever type of foundation you have, if there's any defects to it, do you have any kind of cracks? Is there any sinking? Is it level? The basement needs to be checked for moisture. Your home inspector should have a moisture meter on them. They should be checking to make sure that the moisture was within acceptable levels down there. If there's any mold, you're going to be looking at all of the, most of your home units for your heating and air conditioning are in the basement. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes, but you want to check the basement for gas to make sure there's no gas leaks. You want to make sure that there's no carbon monoxide leaks in the basement. All of these things have to be checked and signed off on for your inspection. You're also supposed to check the crawl space, any kind of structural components whatsoever. I have to describe again what type of foundation we have. I have to inspect the items that are, where am I at here? My screen just moved, sorry about that. The foundation, the inspector shall report as needed indications of wood in contact with the or near the soil. So if you have any wood that is sitting in or on the ground, we have to report that, because even though if it's pressure treated, eventually it's going to go bad and it's going to cause insects in your house. I need to observe the indications of active water penetration. Is there anything on your walls that looks like it's you would notice it if you see it. It doesn't look wet. It's a whitish powder that will form on the foundation of your walls. That's an indication of water infiltration. Chalking. Observe indications of possible foundation movement, such as sheetrock cracks, brick cracks. If it's out of square, if you have a door that doesn't shut normally. I remember a few years ago here in Maryland, we had a earthquake, and after that, the doors in my house wouldn't shut anymore. We had some foundation movement in our house. And any observed cutting or notching or boring of the framing members that may, that in my opinion is dangerous. So in your basement, if somebody cuts through one of your beams in your basement ceiling, basically is what they're saying, to put a water pipe through, electric line, the hole is only supposed to be no more than 1/3 of the width of the wood. So we got to check and make sure that that's within standards. Again, we're back to what am I not required to inspect? Surprise, surprise. When I enter any crawl space that's not readily accessible or where entry could cause damage or pose a hazard to me, a lot of the crawl spaces out there, even though I can get into them, when you open them up, they have nails in there, they have debris, some of them have broken glass. If I can't safely get under your house to check it, obviously I'm not going to crawl under there. I'll try my best to inspect it from the opening, but I'm not going to injure myself trying to get under there. I'm not supposed to move any stored items or debris. So if you have somebody come out to do a home inspection, you need to move everything away from the walls, everything away that you want me to inspect. If I go in the basement and it's full of Christmas decorations and holiday decorations, I can't spend all day moving those tubs away from the wall so I can inspect the wall and inspect the structure. So we're not going to move those sorts of things. We are not to operate any sump pumps that doesn't have inaccessible floats. So if I can't get to the float to lift it up in the air to make sure the sump pump doesn't work, we are not going to inspect that as well. We are not to identify the size, the spacing, the span, or location, or determine the adequacy of a foundation bolting, bracing joists, or joint spans. These are all things that an engineer would do. And again, I understand that I'm reading a lot of stuff that it says stuff that a home inspector does not do. But over the next few weeks, we're going to get into the actual entire home inspection of everything that we do. And we're going to go through this step by step, every component. So anybody out there that's listening that is going to have a home inspection done or is interested in having a home inspection done, you'll know what to look for when you hire a home inspector. So back to what am I not allowed to do? Report on the adequacy of any structural system or component. Again, that's something that an engineer would have to do for you. So let's move into the heating. I shall inspect as a heater the heating system using normal operating controls. And this is an important one that a lot of people mess up on. Normal operating controls is the normal device that you would use to turn something on and off. For your heating and air conditioning system, your normal operating control is a thermostat. And if you have a boiler system with oil, you're going to have an on-off switch as well. That's a safety switch. But if you've moved out of your home and you've turned the breaker off on your heating and air conditioning system because you want to conserve energy, and the person that's buying your home hires me to do an inspection, I'm not going to turn the breaker on to inspect your system. By definition, a breaker is a safety device. A breaker's only job is to measure the amperage coming from the line into it, and if it gets too high, it breaks, it trips, so your house doesn't catch on fire, so the line doesn't get hot. So if I come into your home and you have the breaker turned off, and I go in there and I turn it on and your house catches on fire, guess who's in trouble? Terry Miller. So I am absolutely, and no inspector out there probably will, trip the breaker or flip a breaker back on in your house to inspect any part of the system. It's got to be normal operating controls. The only way that I will do it is if I contact the homeowner and the homeowner sends me an email that states in writing in the email that it didn't trip because of a safety issue. It was turned off on purpose and that I have permission to turn it on and then finish my inspection. At that point, I'll go on and I'll do it for you. Other than that, I'm not going to do it. Stoves, that's another big one, gas stoves. Sometimes the igniters go up. Well, people, what do? They use a grill lighter. They put the lighter beside the stove, they turn the gas on, and they light it with a lighter. Well, we're not allowed to do that, and I won't do that. Obviously, it's just going to be a defect in the stove. So I shall describe, when I'm inspecting your heating system, the location of the thermostat and the heating system, the energy source that you use. Are you using oil? Are you using electric, gas, propane? And the heating method. Is it forced air? Is it radiant heat? Do you have floor heat? I should also report any heating system that did not operate perfectly. If the heating system was deemed inaccessible, if there was any notes, issues on there from the local electric company stating that the unit was turned off, or if there was any issues that we could not use it. And back to, what am I not required to inspect on your heating and air conditioning system? So I'm not required to inspect or measure or evaluate the interior of your flues or chimneys, your fire chamber, your heat exchanger, your combustion air system, your humidifiers, dehumidifiers, or air filters. As I stated earlier with your chimneys and your flues, if you are going to buy a house and you plan on using a fireplace, or if it has a chimney, do yourself a favor and get it inspected. Have an inspector come out, check out the chimney, make sure that there's not a lot of creosote in there and you're not going to get a fire. Okay, I'm being told we're going on another break, so I'll catch you on the other side.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM Baltimore, and worldwide on WCBM.com.
At WCBM, we stand for freedom, hard work, and the businesses that keep our community strong. The local businesses that support WCBM share our values. They believe in you, just like you believe in America. So when you need a service, a product, or a meal out, support the businesses that support WCBM. Your dollars stay local, help hardworking Americans, and keep conservative talk radio alive. Check out our trusted sponsors at WCBM.com and tell them you heard them on WCBM, because when we stand together, we thrive together.
The Kim Klasick Show.
School choice should be a no-brainer, especially if you want to give these kids, and I would say kids of color, and a better opportunity in cities like Baltimore, right? Why would you be against that? In my view, those that are against school choice for those in the city of Baltimore, it is very hard to convince me that that doesn't seem what a person on the left would consider racist.
The Kim Klasick Show. Weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. In a world of rising grocery and gas prices, jacked up interest rates, and increased insurance rates, there's one thing that remains an incredible value. In fact, it's free with no monthly fees. Download the WCBM mobile app today for your favorite shows, news, sports, traffic, and weather, and all the info and entertainment you need. Listen or stream us live. Download the app and stay connected with Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
And welcome back to the Realty Hour with Terry Miller. So we're going to get back into this inspection. First, I want to apologize to everybody out there. I don't know if my voice is cracking or if I'm moving a little too fast. It's going to take me a while to get the hang of this. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm a little on the nervous side. I'm not used to talking to 50,000 people at one time. So we'll get there eventually. Just stay with me. And let's get back into this. So again, what things we're not allowed to inspect as inspectors. We're into fuel tanks in the heating system. We are not allowed to inspect fuel tanks or underground tanks or concealed fuel tank systems. We are not allowed to determine the uniformity, temperature, flow balance, distribution, or capacity of any heating or air conditioning system. We are not allowed to light or ignite pilot flames. So if I go into your house and your heating system is not on and the pilot light is not coming on, it'll be written down as a defect. I will not be able to use anything other than a normal operating control to ignite that. I am not allowed to activate your heating, your heat pump, or anything like that under any circumstances that are not conducive to safe operation. Again, that's going back to the breaker. So if you want me to check your heating and air conditioning system when I come in, everything or anything in your house that needs to be checked, the breakers need to be on. I know I was in a house a while back and the light switch didn't work on the wall, so they were using the light bulb. You had to reach up and turn the light bulb on and off by hand. As simple as that sounds, we are not allowed to do that. So normal operating controls on everything. We're not allowed to override electric thermostats, evaluate your fuel quality. We are not allowed to verify thermostat calibrations or the heat that's anticipated, or the automatic setback units and timers, programs, or clocks in your unit. And we are not allowed to calculate the airflow or combustion ventilation of your system. So right along to the cooling section, things that I am supposed to do as your inspector. Using normal operating controls, I shall inspect and describe the location of the thermostat for the cooling system, the cooling system method, you know, how are we cooling your house. The inspector shall report if anything needs corrected as far as any cooling system did not operate, and if the cooling system was deemed inaccessible, if I couldn't get to the cooling system. Believe it or not, that happens a lot in people. They put, unfortunately, in this day and age, people like to steal the outdoor units. So people put bars around them, and they're stuck in concrete, so you can't steal it. Well, if you can't steal it, you can't get to it either, so there's no way for me to really get in there and inspect that unit. I try to do it, but it's a little difficult to get to it. I am not required to determine the temperature, flow balance, or distribution of that unit as well. I can't tell you how much air is coming out of it and how cold the air is going to be. I can test the air temperature coming out and put it in your report what the air temperature was, but I can't predict that for you and say that's what it's going to stay. I cannot inspect portable window units, through wall units, or electric air filters. Basically, you're really not supposed to inspect anything that's not part of the home. If you have a microwave sitting on a counter, for example, I'm not really supposed to test the microwave, but if that microwave is attached to your wall and it's a permanent structure, then it's part of the home and it should be tested. Along, we do test washers, dryers, dishwashers in most cases. I'm not supposed to operate equipment or systems if the exterior temperature is below 65 Fahrenheit. What that means is your air conditioning system, if I come in your house and it's below 65 degrees, I'm not allowed to turn it on because it can damage your system and it would make me responsible. Same thing with your heating system. If I come in and it's very hot outside, I'm not allowed to use your heating system to heat your home because I could damage the heating system. I am not allowed to inspect or determine thermostat calibrations or cooling anticipations of your unit. So again, that's just going back saying that I can't tell you how cool your house is going to get from your air conditioning unit, and I can't tell you what you can expect it to do. I could just tell you what it's doing at the time. That's another thing I wanted to touch on. I'm sorry I'm jumping around, but things are coming to me as I'm talking. When you do a home inspection, the home inspection is not anything to do with the future or the past. It's a snapshot in time at that time. So if I'm in your house and I'm inspecting your home, what I'm saying is if I was there today and it's 1:57 p.m., while I'm doing that inspection, everything on that report is accurate for that time. It's not an indication of anything that's going to happen tomorrow. So there's some companies that'll give you warranties, but you might want to read them very carefully because they don't last long and they don't cover much for the home inspection warranty. So check those out really carefully before you use them. But remember, when you do a home inspection, don't be under the impression that the home inspection is something that's going to tell that you're moving in and you think, oh, he checked this heating and air conditioning system, it's good for the next year. It's a snapshot of that time and that day. So let's get into some plumbing. That's the next section here. I know I'm moving through these fast, but these commercial breaks are coming in quick, and this is actually my last one. I'm getting towards the end of the show here. So I shall inspect the main water line and the main shutoff valve in your house. You would be surprised how many people don't know where this is. This is extremely important. If you have a flood in your house, if you have a pipe break, anything in your house, you need to know where that water line is. You need to be able to turn off that main valve. The main fuel supply and shutoff valve. If you have gas coming into your house, if you have heating oil, propane, you need to know where the main shutoff valves for these things are. All these are very important. The water heating equipment, including the energy source, venting connections, temperature pressure relief valves, and seismic bracing, the things that are braces that are holding your water heater from flipping over if it happens to be a major storm or earthquake. All toilets for proper operation. We need to make sure that your toilets are working. You'd be surprised how many toilets are actually loose. When you touch them, they move from side to side. So that's something that needs to be adjusted. It's also a safety issue because you could actually fall off the toilet. In my past life, before I came to work here, I was a police officer. And during that time, I think three times, believe it or not, in my career as a police officer in Baltimore, I had to respond to a systematic for somebody that fell off of a toilet because the toilet moved and dropped them off of it. So that's something you want to make sure that the toilet is actually tight to the floor. All right, so we're moving on. I'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
This is the right choice for Maryland.